very quietly, very quietly, very quietly, very quietly.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Quietly, please. Let's just stay before the Lord for about a minute. Just quiet. Let the organ be playing, but very quietly. Everybody, just focus on the Lord. Bible says, I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. It says, be still and know that I am God. Father, it's such an honor and privilege to know the true God. Your word says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. This is the true God and eternal life. We bless you. Thank you for the wonderful privilege. Call into the fellowship of your Son. We worship you, not with words only, with our hearts, with our consecration to do your will, to let men who cannot see you yet see you in us. As we enter your word now, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Pray for fresh unction and anointing upon my heart and my lips, that I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. We pray the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure. Power that will heal. Power that will deliver. Power that will break yokes. Power that will free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring our treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings in their own individual life, agreed individually and said, amen. Amen. This afternoon I have a very important message I want to share with us. It's actually a continuation from last week's message. And as far as I know, I may even have more to add. I'm just going to give a little aspect of it this afternoon. And then maybe next week or in another few weeks' time, I will also continue. And I've entitled it, Putting on Your Royal Apparel. Last week, we looked at Esther, Mordecai, and Nigeria. And I said, you know, Esther, Mordecai, and Nigeria. And we saw that prophetically, you could see what God was doing in Nigeria at this particular point in time using those types and shadows. You have a group of people in government. Nigeria's government is not a monarchy like it was in the olden days where you just have one emperor. Even though we have a president, the president is not all-powerful. He's limited, bound by the chains of the constitution, and he rules not as a man individually, he rules through the senators, the House of Representatives, as well as even members of his cabinet. So if you look at that whole system, it would represent a serious kind of system. Now, also in government, you have Haman. Haman is in government, working with Ahasuerus, but he's different from Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus is just ruling as he normally, just in the natural. You know, Ahasuerus didn't know who the Jews were. He didn't know, he didn't have a plan to kill anybody. But Haman, who was in government with Ahasuerus, was the diabolical one. He was the one that went to cast lots. He was the one that had this vengeance in his heart that he wanted to destroy all of the Jews. And so Haman today will represent people in government working closely with Ahasuerus in government, but who have diabolical motives and also operate diabolically. We will be very foolish. You know, it's one of the things of the modern times. Oh, there's no devil. They are. People do, even people in government, do consult witch doctors, marabouts, and look for spiritual power that does not come from God to promote themselves, to enhance their position. These things are realities. And so those who constitute the Hamans. Esther is a double-faced company. You have people who are in government, and you have Esthers that are younger Christians. They're not in government, but they can influence what is in government, and those who are in government have the privilege of being able to approach Ahasuerus. For example, somebody like me, for example, now would not be able, I can't just go to Asurok. I just can't go and see anybody. But somebody who works there, who is in that government, he can go there. So you as an ordinary Christian, you may be an Esther, but you can't go there. But we have to understand that these spiritual understandings are companies. They are not one individual. And so they operate together as a group. The Mordecai would be people like me and others who would be spiritual fathers that brought up the Esthers spiritually. You know, they got born again in our churches. They've been instructed. They've been discipled. So you've got these four sets of people. You know, Ahasuerus, you've got Haman, you've got Esther, you've got Mordecai. All of them are pretty Nigeria at the moment. You know, and the spiritual, even though now, back in those days, it was an individual. Ahasuerus was an individual. Haman was an individual. Esther was an individual. Mordecai was an individual. But now, spiritually, you know, they're groups of people. But the spiritual forces are still the same. The Haman wants to destroy the Jews inside Persia, you know, and here, you know, want to destroy God's people. You know, the Ahasuerus is not aware of Haman's plan. You know, he's being deceived. He's just not aware. You know, and then the Esther, some of them are not aware because they're in the palace and they're enjoying everything. So the Mordecai's have to now call the attention of the Esthers to the spiritual diabolical plan that the Hamans have, which is what we're doing by these kind of messages, so that the Esthers will wake up and then put on collectively now, both those in the palace and those outside the palace, because when Esther and Mordecai fasted and prayed, it was not Esther and Mordecai alone. Esther had her virgins. Mordecai had his own people. He said all the Jews in Susan, in the Susan palace, they all prayed together. So today is the same thing. So we have an Esther-Mordecai company that, as I speak, are fasting and praying. And the purpose of the fasting and prayer is to have favor with Ahasuerus and change the bad decrees in government that are geared and designed to kill the Jews. We have the same situation right now in Nigeria as I speak. And so what we are doing now are fasting and praying, you know, individually and collectively as a group, you know, so that Esther can put on her royal apparel and go to the king. Now, in our own day and hour, what is this royal apparel? Now, you have to understand that in the New Testament, the Bible speaks of our clothing as our physical body. The physical body is the clothing of the spirit. Now, The Bible speaks of this in Ephesians chapter 5, you know, talking about the bride of Christ, the church becoming Jesus' wife, the bride of Christ. He says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Then he speaks of her body, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. Of course, he's using a natural analogy to explain the spiritual truth, where the body of Christ, the church, will be pure and holy, glorious. And what that really speaks to is this, and that's what I want to share with us this afternoon in these next few minutes. It is this, that the church needs to put on her royal apparel, which is, in reality, put the life of God inside the physical body. In, I'm going to use a very important word now, significant measure. In a measure that is more than enough to cause, I'm going to explain this as I go on, combustion is the word I'm looking for. In chemistry and in engineering, you have a combustion engine. That engine, they put a petroleum or some petroleum motor spirit, then they compress it. Then that's why we have a spark plug. When you put the spark plug in, the spark causes the gas to become combustible, and then it releases a lot of pressure, and that pushes the pistons, and that's how the car moves. Now, spiritually, we want combustible Christians. Christians that when they come in touch with the spark of the Holy Spirit will go on fire. That is the purpose of the royal apparel. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm just going to hit a few scriptures running. You know, and some I won't just quote, I'll just say them from my heart. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've spoken about this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 1, it talks about, you know, we have a clothing from heaven. Thank you. For we know that this our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, you know, made, you know, from heaven, not made without eternal in the heavens. Verse 2. Thank you. For in this we groan earnestly to desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from him. So we have this earthly house. This is not our royal apparel. The royal apparel, you see, Esther in the natural, she had a lot of clothes. But there were some clothes she never wore if she was going to meet the king for a favor. She would put on a particular, you know, very nice cloth. That's why Bible calls it, you know, royal apparel. So it is with us. We are supposed to put the life of God into our physical bodies, to remove the spots, the blemishes, the wrinkles, and all of that, so that we can then go before the king and then have the spiritual power and favor to change the government, to change how Ahasuerus thinks. You know, Ahasuerus, the Esther account, he was sleeping. I wanted to sleep. He couldn't sleep because of the power that was coming out of the fasting and prayer of Mordecai and Esther. And then he said, go and bring all the books. Then he looked, and then he looked for a place where he would honor Mordecai. And that was the beginning of the downfall of Haman. So it is going to be now. As we fast and pray, and we put the life of God into our mortal bodies, then we begin. That is the same equivalent of putting on our royal apparel. Look at verse 3. That, if so being clothed, we shall not be found naked. This is a very important point. I preached this in Easter when I talked about the Lazarus transformation of the physical body. How many remember that message? The same thing. You see, here he's saying we don't want to die. You see, if I take off my body spiritually, I'll be naked. And then the spirit just goes straight to heaven. So Paul is saying, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. He's not talking about the resurrection, you know, when the rapture happens. That's going to happen. It's actually double meaning. You know, it has the manifold wisdom of God. There's an application to this here. But in the context in which I'm speaking, he's talking about still here in this natural body, putting the life of God inside the body. Look at verse 4. And that's the punchline. Then I'm going to jump to chapter 4. And it says, for we that are in this tabernacle, we what? Groan. That's one of the reasons of groaning. Praying with groaning. Being burdened. Not that we'll be unclothed. Again, he repeats it. Not that I don't want to take my body off. I want to renew it. That what? Mortality might be swallowed up of. So that the life of God. The life of God will be made manifest in this mortal flesh. We haven't seen men on earth yet with the life of God made manifest in their mortal flesh on a consistent basis. We've seen a few examples like John G. Lake and all of that, who just touched it as an example and came back because, you know, they died, they were sick and all of that. But it is possible. That's why the Bible tells us about it. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I said it in chapter 5 so that you can see the parallel between the clothing. That's why it's our royal apparel. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 10 and 11 is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, always bearing about, I didn't hear you folks, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, look at this, that the life also of Jesus might be made what? Manifest. Where? In our mind. This is not when we get to heaven. This is here. I don't know, but over the years, the centuries, the church has been ignorant or has ignored the scriptures because the carnal mind says it's not possible. But the scripture is clear that the life of God may be made what? Manifest. Not in our glorified body, not in our resurrected body, in our mortal body. I'm going to preach this again later on, you know, when I talk about finishing well. But I can give you examples of from the Bible, from the Old Testament, of people who had the life of God manifest in their mortal flesh to a very significant, that's why I use the word significant, degree. I'm going to give you three of them. Number one, Abraham. Abraham was 99 years old, 100. Something happened to his physical body. He wasn't a resurrected body. It was a natural body, but there was an age reversal. So that a 100-year-old man became virile to be able to give birth to a son. And the same thing happened to Sarah. That's an example. Now, instead of just having it just for an isolated incident of having Isaac, imagine having it constant. Of course it's possible. I'll give you number three. I'll give you number two. You know, there was a man called Caleb. How many of you know Caleb? Caleb was 85 years old. 85! As old! Caleb said, give me this mountain. He said, I can take it. He said, for I am as strong as I was when I was 45. That's the life of God manifest in the body. That's a practical example. I'm trying to make it real to you so that you don't think it's something that's going to get when we get to heaven. That's the royal apparel. The life of God manifest in her at 85. The last example I'll give is Moses. You know what the Bible said about Moses? He said that he was 120 years old. He said his eye was not dim. Watch this. And his natural strength was not abated. That's the life of God manifest in the body. Most 120 years old, their eye is dim. And they can't move around like they used to. They may still be able to walk and all that, but they have to be helped. They have to use a cane or a stick. But when the life of God becomes manifest in the body, that 120-year-old body will be like a 35-year-old body. I sent something to some of the doctors. They just did some research, you know, in Harvard or somewhere. I saw it in Time magazine. And they found that by putting, watch this, they took the blood from young mice. They were using rats. They took the blood from young mice. Then they injected that blood into the older mice. The older mice now started living longer. They did a control experiment. They found out all the ones that they gave the new blood to, their life, they rejuvenated. They were not susceptible to disease. They didn't get sick. And they lived for much longer. And they said that this may hold the key. It was written in the article to age reversal. I said, you guys are late. We're already ahead. No problem for God. That's one of the reasons why you need the blood of Jesus. The life of the flesh is in the blood. As the blood cleanses your heart so that the life of God can flow inside, it goes inside your system and it now begins to change those things at the genetic level. Talk about royal apparel. Talk about royal apparel. Can you imagine? I heard somebody say this some years ago. I hadn't thought that. You know, sometimes we read the Bible, we don't think about it. He said, can you imagine? Moses was called when he was 80 years old. 80. You understand? When he was going to do the Ten Commandments, God took him. Watch this. How many people have been mountain climbing before? I have. Pastor Wiley is not around. But I think Pastor Larry is, you know. Remember when we went to Boma Hills? We had to climb a mountain for 4 hours. That time we had this Pajero Jeep. There is no path for the Jeep to go onto the mountain. So we had to go with our legs. You understand? This was back in the year 2000. We went on a missionary trip in Adamawa State here. And we crossed. When we got to the top of the mountain, we were in Cameroon. It was, you know, the border between Cameroon and Nigeria. And I remember that day we had to leave the car downstairs. There was no place for the car to travel. So we now began to climb. There was a footpath. There was a Fulani guide who was guiding us. One of them, I don't know if it was Fulani or not, you know, but it was a guide and one of the brethren who was working among the missionaries there, Brother James. So we were all climbing. We climbed for 4 hours. 4 hours. I still remember. You know, and thank God I was fit because I was doing exercise and all of that. You know, even then, it strained me. How old was I? I was 40 or 41 then. You know, it was 1999, 2000. You know, we went up the mountain that day. You know, it took us 4 hours. We're just going up, up, up. Now, Moses is 80 years old. He goes up the mountain, but you haven't heard of it yet. Then God cuts out 2 stones that contain the Ten Commandments, and he carried both of them. Try it. And he climbed up the mountain carrying. Then when he got angry and he came down and saw them worshiping the golden calf, got angry, threw the stones down and destroyed them. God said that what they were doing was wrong, but 2 wrongs don't make it right. You shouldn't have lost your temper. He said, this time I'm not going to chisel the thing out, or you chisel it yourself. I'll tell you the words, but you chisel it yourself. Because God did initially with a laser beam. The Bible said with the finger of God. It was the fire of God that was coming out of his hands that cut the stone and wrote inside the stone. So God still wrote it, but he said, now Moses, you chisel it out. 80-year-old. He chisels it out and carries it. You can now understand his natural strength was not abated. That's the life of God manifest in the mortal flesh. So it's not pie in the sky. Is available. Now, we haven't seen the church really enter into this realm. But if we don't preach it, we'll never have faith for it. And if we don't have faith, we'll never do it. Am I talking to anybody here? So what we're going to do is, as we pray, you know, as we groan, as we travail, that's why the good morning Jesus, getting up to pray early in the morning, is part of the discipline. How many people have noticed this? I can testify of my wife. And some of the brethren that are close to us. How many people have noticed that since you started the Good Morning Jesus and you started getting up at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, you've been doing it for, it will be a year in July, to the glory of God, that your body has changed. What you thought you couldn't do, you are doing it now. Hello, somebody. It doesn't mean you don't get tired, like Jesus will get tired and Jesus will sleep. But what it means is that you now discover that somehow, you know, 4 o'clock, you just get up. Hello, somebody. What that physical body couldn't do before is because you're training it. Turn to your neighbor and say, the training is not through yet. You're training that body. You're reprogramming it. And you know, the life we live in this church, to the glory of God, I say to the glory of God, is supernatural. You can't do it in the natural. You will break down and get sick. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Pray. Then you go to work. Then you come. You come back to church. You pray. And all of those things. You will feel it. But you don't get sick. You know what's sustaining you? The life of God. Manifest in the mortal flesh. So that's the royal apparel. Putting the life of God inside the mortal flesh. I'm going to use this word again to a significant degree. God gave me a vision. When I say a vision now, I didn't see a picture. It's almost like I saw a picture, but it was a revelation. It was so clear in my mind. He said, that is what the wise virgin must do. The wise virgin must put oil in his vessel, not lamp. The lamp is the spirit. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, is a lamp. But the vessel is the body. The unwise virgins, the foolish ones, had oil in the lamp, but did not have oil in the vessel. The wise virgin had oil both in the lamp and in the vessel. Then God gave me this revelation. It was like a vision. It was like a picture. That's where I got the word combustible from. He said, if there is oil inside the vessel. How many people, this generation, when we were small, I used to go to my grandmother in Lagos. I forgot his name. There's a Yoruba name for the thing. Ashukpa, something like that. Akupa, whatever. God forgive me. Just pray for me. You know. But I still remember it. When they want something, they will take that thing. It's like they put oil inside the thing. Once you put it something, the fire goes up. I still remember. God wants you to become an akupa. You know why? Because once the glory is manifested, it manifests as fire. For you're going to baptize with the Holy Ghost. Watch this. I'm going to say it different. You're baptized with the Holy Ghost, earnest, and fire without measure. They're not the same. That's why it's the Holy Ghost and fire. So what happens is that once one person has the fire, all those that have ashupa, atupa, once they have the oil inside their vessels, they only just need to come near. We call it borrowed anointing. They just come near the person that has the boom, and they too will be on fire, and the whole place will be full of fire. That's the royal apparel. They may not necessarily have gotten it by themselves because they borrowed anointing. But once they can, the person that doesn't have oil in his vessel, if he comes near the fire will burn him. But the person that has oil in his vessel, when he comes near the fire will spark him up. I don't know if I've helped anybody here. That's what's coming. So do not relent. I got to close. Last scripture. Thank you, Jesus. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5. I actually mentioned this on Friday, on Wednesday. 1 Peter chapter 5. You need, talk to your neighbor, say you need oil in your vessel. As you put oil in your vessel, you're putting on your royal apparel. This is an example of revelation knowledge. Can you see how the scriptures are complementing each other, but totally diverse scriptures? Esther, Matthew, 2 Corinthians, that look separate, but it's the same message. So you put oil inside your vessel. That's how you put in your royal apparel. Now, without oil inside your vessel, so how is it going to be? He has already told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11, 10 and 11, there are two things. It says, we which live, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of God may be. So the way to get the life of God inside the mortal body is to carry about in the body the die. In other words, crucify the flesh. In other words, live with self-denial. In other words, get up at 4 a.m. in the morning when your body doesn't want to get up. Live a fasted life when you want to eat all you like. I ate in your yesterday, but it's once in a while. Praise the Lord. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to do something today as well. I'll eat your. But you know, I done my praying. Praise the Lord. And we had a glorious time. You know, same thing. I prayed for this. I did all my praying on Friday. You know, so when I was able to eat your on Saturday. But I don't do that every day. You live in a fasted life. Deny yourself. The two main things you deny yourself. Sex too is there, but that one is minor. But the two main things that you deny yourself are food and sleep. I would say food and sleep. That's the real self-denial. If you want to progress spiritually and give time in prayer and intercession, you need to deny yourself. Number one, sleep. Number two, food. That doesn't mean you don't eat. You just don't eat as much. That's what's going to put. And then when you deny yourself food and sleep, and then you now fill your heart with the life of God using life scripture, and then you now pray and groan, you put the life in the body. You got it? The second thing he says, that we which live, this is verse 11, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of God may be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He says it twice. The first one is self-denial. The second one is that you are delivered unto death. It means that God will allow Satan to attack you. To the point where he can kill. If he could, would kill you. But he won't kill you. But you must allow yourself to be put in that situation. Because that's what gives God a legal basis for punishing Satan eternally. If he does not, that's why, watch this scripture, I got to close. He says, in Isaiah chapter 59, you know what he says? He says, the enemy shall come in. But like a flood, the Spirit of God, but he must be allowed to come in. If he's not allowed to come in, there is no he's not legally culpable. So he must be allowed to come in. He must be allowed to attack. In other words, you are now delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. But the good news is that when he does come in, and you know, that's the thing about God that many Christians, you know, get nervous about, because you don't know God very well yet. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is totally trustworthy. You will find that God will not move until he comes in. You'll be wondering, where is God? Where is God? You know, God! He's waiting for him to come in. He has to come in first. If he doesn't come in, there's no legal basis for his for condemning the devil and putting him in the lake of fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, somewhere in there, you know, where it says, you know, that that God would... you have to give me the scripture. I can't remember it offhand. But the point is this. He must be allowed to come in. You must be allowed. He must allow Satan to attack you with the, watch this, intent to kill. Otherwise, there is no legal basis for charging him with murder. Yes, sir. Now, he killed Jesus, but that was reckoned on our behalf so that we will not go to hell.
Yes, sir.
So Jesus' own has been paid for. You can't have double jeopardy. So he has to be allowed again to try and kill us. It is that one that will now be used to put him in hell. The first one was used on was credited to us. That's why we don't go to hell, because Jesus died, suffered, and went to hell on our behalf. Now God will allow Satan to attack us. So when he attacks us and he fails. Now that's why this is like a flood. The Spirit of God will raise the standard. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can trust God. Even when the enemy comes in, the Holy Ghost is just waiting for him to go through the door. Then he will now raise the standard against him and push it. But he has committed the crime. I don't know if we got it. is a legal thing, folks. And it is only Christians who will not be offended. Christians who have made up their mind, watch the scripture. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But it didn't stop there. By the word of their testimony. But it didn't stop there. And they love not their lives. In other words, they have said, God, it's okay. Let him attack. It's okay, Lord. Let him. It's a plan. And God, me and God, we're working on the same plan. So I say, yes, let him attack. Let him come in. Because I know that once he enters through the door, the Spirit of God will raise a stand against him. I got to close. Glory to God. Have I helped anybody here? Quickly go to 2 Thessalonians. I think it's either 1 or 2 Thessalonians. I think, is it 2? Chapter 1, verse 5. Somewhere in there. Quickly. I won't say that now. Say one scripture now and I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, excuse me. 2 Thessalonians, excuse me. Chapter 1, verse 5. Have you got it? 2 Thessalonians. Thank you. He says, Second, God have mercy on you. Good. That's it. Which is a, go to verse 4 to get the thought. Good. So that we also, that we ourselves, I didn't hear you, glory in you, in the churches of God, for your what? Patience and faith in what? All your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Persecution and tribulation are a part and parcel of the life of the overcomer. I didn't say the Christian. It's not every Christian who will agree. And when they don't agree, God just takes it, leave him alone. Let him live a natural life. That's his choice. No, you have a choice. It's not every Christian who makes up that kind of decision. God's looking for people who will, and God will come to you and tell you, look, I got a plan. Are you gonna be part of it or not? You know what Paul called it in Philippians? He called it the fellowship of his sufferings. Not every Christian wants to partake of the fellowship of his suffering, which is fine, you go to heaven, but you will not partake of the glory. The glory is only reserved for those who are partakers of the fellowship of his sufferings. It is them that put on the royal apparel and then can carry the glory. Have I helped anybody here? Now, last scripture. This is just a story and I'm going to close with it. I said the enemy will come in. Then like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise stand against him. Paul. I mean, remember what happened to Paul in Philippi. That's an excellent example. You know what happened that day? Paul is going about God's business, preaching the gospel to people. One girl who has a spirit of divination, you know, turn to your neighbor, say, this black magic thing is true, you know. Don't get so educated that you don't believe that there's no devil. You'll be doing yourself a great injustice. There is a devil, but greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But don't deny that there is. That's why we have Hamans in the Nigerian government. But we will deal with them. Chill, man. Turn to everybody, say, chill, man. Say, God's in control. We're going to deal with all the Hamans. Before we go for the rapture, we will change the country. We will remove Haman from government. And the only governments will be those that will be subject to Mordecai and Esther. Then when we've gone, Haman can come back. Because they won't die. Some of them will die, but some of them will just be out of government. But once we are exerting the power, they can't come back in. But once we go, then they can come back in. And that's when then the Antichrist will show their pepper. You don't want to stay for that flight. You want to go first flight. Am I talking to anybody here? So Paul and Silas, Paul is walking around, you know, and preaching the gospel. And this girl with the spirit of divination said, she has a word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is accurate. The devil knows some things, you know. He said, these are the men who are preaching the gospel, showing us the way to the true and living God. And she did this for many days. So Paul got tired of it and cast out the spirit. Now, they were using it to make money. Nothing has changed. People are still using those things to make money. And I'm going to add something that will shock you, even in the church. Go and listen to my message on passive and active witchcraft. Saul went to the house of a witch, anointed man of God. It's happening as I speak. Now, anyway, so this girl, he cast the thing out. The guys get angry. So they now get Paul and Silas and deliver them to the hands of the police, but they call it magistrates. So nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. You know, the men are still the way they are. They're still corrupt and everything. How can you charge somebody? Paul was a lawyer, you know. Paul was a guy of great physical calling, a Hebrew of the Hebrews and all of that, but they did it illegally. Paul was a Roman citizen. They had no right to do what they did, but probably it was later in the day, there was nobody around. This guy gave them some money and they just bundled Paul and Silas, bundled them inside the prison. Not only did they do that, they beat them. They used whips and beat their backs so that their backs were bleeding, and threw them inside the innermost jail. But they had no electricity in those days. The place was, the Bible says, how many people want the Spirit of God to enter in like a flood? You must do what Paul did. Don't remember, he must be allowed to enter. So the question is, why didn't God stop them when they arrested Paul? Why didn't the angel or the earthquake appear before they beat Paul? Why didn't the angel appear when or stop the men, you know, when they arrested him and put his hand in handcuffs and took him inside the prison? God was allowing Satan to enter. In your life, when you're having difficulties, and God is allowing Satan to enter. It's okay. No problem. So you know what Paul did? Paul, knowing he was the one who wrote all these things for us, how all things work together for good, says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Notice it wasn't singing praises alone, it was prayed. Thank you. So when he prayed, the Holy Ghost, he said, the Spirit of God, like a flood, and that's exactly what happened. Like a flood, the Spirit of God raised up a standard against that satanic incursion. And the Bible says, everyone's bands was loosed. There was a great earthquake. So much so that the man wanted to kill himself, the jailer. Because in those days, in the Roman Empire, if they have a prisoner and the prisoner escapes, you die. So the man was going, he thought they had all run away. So the man had his sword, he was going to kill himself, the jailer. It was Paul who saved his life. Paul said, don't worry, do yourself no harm. We're all here. That's what we need in Nigeria. Nobody preached to the man. There was no message. The man just came and fell down. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Text or tweet. Every man knows he must be saved. They didn't preach to him. He knew. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know the rest of the story. The point is this. Whenever God allows Satan to come in, don't get discouraged. Don't get angry with God. You are becoming you are partaking of the fellowship of his suffering. But do something. The same thing Paul did. Pray. The Bible says, is any afflicted, let him pray. When you pray during affliction, you will turn the affliction around. And then it will go in your credits that you've been a partaker of his sufferings. Let us pray. Talk to God. Am I talking to anybody here? Put on your royal apparel. Become an... Is it Atukpa? What? Ibila? Pisila? God have mercy on me. Fisila. Ah, I got it now. She said it with nice fun, eh? Fitila. What you get, you see? Fitila. So, become a fitila. Put oil in that vessel So when the glory and the fire appears, you will combust. That's the reason for the royal apparel. Stand to your feet. Am I talking to anybody here? You need that royal apparel, folks. Esther cannot change Ahasuerus or his government without the royal apparel. And so as I speak now, the Esther and Mordecai companies in the church in Nigeria, those who have an ear to hear, remember, there were many Jews in the Persian Empire. Most of them had no idea what was going on. It was just Mordecai, Esther, her few virgins, and a few guys in the Susan Palace who would listen to Mordecai. The rest of the Jews were ignorant about what was happening. So it is today. Keep your fasting and praying. Keep that self-denial. Deny food. Deny sleep. So that you can give time to pray, groan, travail, and put the life of God inside your mortal body. So you become a fitila. I just remember when I was a kid, you know, when I used to go and see my grandmother in Lagos, they would get that thing out and they'll put it inside the fire, then the thing will go up. You know, you want to combust when the glory appears, have oil in your vessel. Talk to God. Oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help us. Talk to God. So the stage we're in now, we're in the fasting and praying stage, to the point where we can put the oil in the vessel so that it combusts. When we now go before Ahasuerus, he has no choice. He's going to change. On bended knees we come, with a humble heart we come, bowing down before your holy throne. Lift those holy heads. We worship you in spirit. Make our lives
a holy praise unto you.
On bended knees we come, glory to God. It's not just a song, it's a prayer. One hand on your body and with your second hand raise it to God. You want to put oil inside this vessel. That's how you put on your royal apparel. The life of God inside the physical body in significant measure. So it produces those changes I spoke about. Caleb, Abraham, Moses, these are examples. So it's not something that is far out or that cannot be attained. Men have done it. Having the mantles of Caleb, Moses, and Abraham all together in one physical body would transform your life completely. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for this word, the spiritual understanding of your word concerning our purpose now as an Esther Mordecai company in Nigeria, to put on our royal apparel by fasting and praying, living a life, a habitual life of self-denial, denial of sleep, denial of food, so we can give extra time to prayer in the spirit, groanings and travail to pump the life of God in sufficient measure into our physical bodies, so that we will become vessels of honor that will catch the glory of God, the fire of the glory of God. And with that, go before Ahasuerus and change the government of this country. God, have mercy on me. I present myself of my own free will with understanding. Understanding what I am doing. Understanding the implications. Understanding the sacrifices. Understanding that I love not my life unto the death. I understand, sir. I understand as I do this that I am making myself available to be a partaker of the fellowship of your sufferings. Oh God, have mercy on me. Mercy not to faint. Mercy to be faithful to this great endeavor, so that as I deny myself of food, of sleep, and spend extra time in prayer, intercession, travail, the life of God will be pumped into my physical body in significant measure, so that when the fire of your glory appears, I too will go on fire and carry that glory throughout Nigeria and to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekatolo mashalakara. Freninga tuske fredes. Lo predicato fredes. Jikito frenengar tolo mashala. Nera matu fredes. Don fredenga shali. Yikito fredes. Lord have mercy. Zelikito fredes. Lombre di glamatolomas tu fredes. Zofrenengala. Lombre di kintusku fredes. Lombra dalash. Lombre gagamatolomatu fredu freshe. Tolomengagamatolomangagamatolomostufres. Lambridikis. Zifrio. Non gredeles. Ziketo fredes. Lombre gagamatolomatu fresh. Togamatolomatolomatu fresh. Lombre gagamatolomatu fredu freshe ingars. Tolomangar tolomostufre. Non gardele matufres. Non fredes. Non fredes. Non garas. Ziketo fredes. Lombre delicato fresh. Non fredes. Non frenelas. Non fredes. Jelica horos, tu frenelas, non frenes, non frenons, jecatofre, lombrodosco fresc. In Jesus' name, let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn up and say, with self-denial and prayer, you put on your royal apparel. God bless you.